Good evening. I don't know all of the definitions of adult ADHD, but I think I might have it. I got all the way through my sermon this morning, and I went to take this mic off. And that mic was not on my shirt anywhere. It was laying right where it was when I got up here. But I do have a distinct memory of putting that microphone on, but it obviously did not happen. That's true news. A man once said that I am not the boss of my house. I don't know how I lost it. I don't even know when I lost it. I'm not even sure that I ever had it. But I've seen the boss's job, and I don't want it. Well, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, we're gonna take out a large swath here of Ephesians. We're going to do Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21, and we're going to go to chapter 6 and verse 21. And in that text that we're going to look at, this has been a text that has been debated for a long, long time. It seems that the only part that anybody is really interested in talking about is should a wife submit to her husband? There have been men who have used this passage to dominate their wives by demanding that they submit to them. There have been theologians who have tried to rewrite this passage so that women don't have to submit to their husbands. There have been preachers who won't talk about the passage because they'd rather maybe not mess with it. Well, I think that maybe they've all sort of missed the point, that maybe they've missed the focus of the passage. And the main focus of the passage is not whether or not women should submit to their husbands. And it's not about should husbands dominate their wives. The focus of this passage is about how a Christian should live. Every Christian, man or woman, should live a life of submission to everyone around them. The command to submit is everywhere in this passage. And the type of lifestyle just happens to include how husbands and wives should submit to each other. Well, the last time we were talking about Ephesians, a few weeks ago, we talked about how Paul said we needed to be filled with the Spirit, as he says there in 5:18. And I talked about how that idea was that we should be so controlled and be filled by the Spirit that it becomes so obvious to others by the way that we walk and we talk and we think and we act. And then Paul told us three ways that we could fill our lives with God's Spirit. Let's make it that he would control us. Ephesians 5:19 tells us that we can be so filled with God's Spirit when we are addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. The next verse then teaches us that we can be filled with God's Spirit when we are giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sing praises to God and give thanks to him for all things given to you. And then I explained that we do those things when we sing, when we give thanks. We create an atmosphere in our lives where the Spirit can be comfortable inside of us and be able to fully work his power in our lives. And then at the end of that sermon, I said there was a third thing that we could do that would make it easier for God's Spirit to fill us with his power. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. Ephesians 5:21 says that we should be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in the next few verses, Paul gives us examples of how we can do that. Wives, submit to your husbands, encouraging them to be leaders in the home. Husbands, submit to your wives by loving them as Christ loved the church. Children, submit to your parents by obeying them. Fathers, submit to your children by not being harsh and unreasonable with them. Employees, submit to your bosses as if you were working for Christ. And bosses, submit to your employees by treating them fairly. Submit, submit, submit. It's a Christian thing. And the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't like that, and the world won't ever do that because the world is not into submission. The world, as you see everywhere right now, is all about rights and position and power. And Jesus taught us that we must not be like the world in that way of thinking. If we look over to Matthew chapter 20 and verses 25 through 28, Jesus said there that you know the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, submit. Why? Because that's what Jesus did.
If you turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 8, we read that Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant or more important than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Again, submit. And why? Because Jesus did. Jesus is our example, and submission is what he modeled for us. And so, therefore, we have to learn to be submissive to others. So, what does submission mean? Well, it means, number one, that it's not about me. It's not about my wants or desires or needs. Submission is about looking out for the interests of others. That's what Philippians 2:4 says. Let each of you look not to his own self-interest, but to the interests of others. In your relationships, ask what's important in the people around you. Find out what that is and give it to them. Unless it's, out of reason. That should be our guideline. There was a survey done several years ago that asked men and women what they wanted most from their spouse. And men overwhelmingly said they needed to be respected. And women overwhelmingly said they needed to be loved. Well, that's exactly what Paul is telling husbands and wives in Ephesus here, that they need to apply, that they need to supply to their spouses. Folks have known this for a long time. Martin Luther, way back when, said, "Let the wife make her husband be glad to come home, and let the husband make his wife sorry to see him leave." Now, that's a little antiquated, but we get the idea there. Men need to be respected by their wives, so they want to come home from work, and women need to be loved so much by their husbands that they're sorry to see them leave. Submission in marriage is all about trying to give your spouse what they need. And you can see this principle spelled out all throughout Paul's teachings. What do parents want? To be obeyed. And so Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." What do children want from their parents? To be treated fair or right. And so Paul writes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." What do employers want? That you do your job. And so Paul says, "You workers should be rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." And of course, what do employees want? To be treated honestly and fairly. And so Paul says, "Don't threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." Now, too often what happens is people say, "Yeah, that's how my kids should obey. They should obey me, and that's how my employees ought to work. They ought to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, or that's how my employer ought to treat me." There is a lot of belief that this submission thing is all about what others ought to do or how others ought to treat us. If only others would just treat me the way that they should, I'd just meet them and submit to them and meet their needs, and I would treat them right. Then I would do the same for them. But that's just not how it works. The Bible never tells us what others must do for us first. It only tells you and I what we must do for others, no matter how those people have behaved towards us. Submission is not about others treating us right. It's about us treating others right, no matter the cost or no matter the circumstance. Now, I want us to think back to a passage that we quoted earlier, the one about submitting to each other in the same way that Jesus submitted to us. Jesus is the model of how we should submit to others. So here's a question. How did Jesus submit to us? Well, he died on the cross, right? So the next question is what did you do, what did I do that made Jesus, so that Jesus would want to die for something that I did on the cross? Did we do anything that would make Jesus say, "Yes, they have done such a wonderful thing for me, and now I'm going to go and do such a wonderful thing for them"? That's not how it worked, is it? We didn't do anything for Jesus that would have earned his attention. We didn't deserve Jesus submitting to the cross for us. He died on the cross, despite the fact that we didn't deserve that. He's our model for how to be submissive. Submit to others, even when they don't deserve it. That's what Jesus did for us. So go and do likewise. I think there are a couple of qualifiers here that we'll talk about. There are times when you shouldn't submit. Number one, you shouldn't submit if it's illegal, immoral, or violates the will of God. For example, the Bible tells us that we are to submit to our governing authorities, but we read in Acts 4 that the governing authorities, the Sanhedrin, ordered Peter and John not to preach about Jesus anymore. And it says that the Sanhedrin called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. For we cannot speak but what we have seen and heard." In other words, Peter and John declared, "We're not going to submit to you on this. Preaching about Jesus is what we were supposed to do." So they prayed and they continued on. "We will do what God wants us to do despite what you say," is what they said. We're not required to submit to anything that is illegal, immoral, or violates the will of God. Second, I think submission doesn't mean that you have to put your family in danger. In other words, a woman whose husband beats her or the kids does not have to stay in that situation. Well, how do I know that? Well, we can see in a story in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we read that David had went and lived in the palace with King Saul, and he was under the king's authority there. But when it came obvious that the king wanted to harm David, in fact, Saul intended to kill David, so David left town. Any wife or child who is endangered by a husband or anyone in the household doesn't need to stay in a dangerous situation. They can and they should leave, and I would go so far as to say that we should probably assist in some way of helping them. One last thought. Why should I submit? Well, yeah, I should submit because Jesus did. We understand that. But why does it matter if I do or not? Do you remember us talking about that submission is the third way that we can be filled with the Spirit of God? When we choose to be submissive to the other people in our lives, especially to those who don't deserve us to be nice to them, we turn God's Spirit loose in that relationship. And when we turn God's Spirit loose, I think people should watch out because things can begin to change in a big way. Think about it this way. I read this story, and I'm not real sure on the truthfulness of the story, but it makes a great point, and I'm going to use it. But back in the Old West, there were some ranchers who had a unique way of breaking wild stallions. And what they would do is they would harness a stallion to a little burrow, and then they would set them loose. And that way they would see the two animals. One was a powerful horse bucking and dragging the small burrow helplessly off into the desert. And the animals might be gone for days, but eventually they would come back. And you can guess which animal was in the lead. It was always the little burrow, and it goes, and it says that he was leading this powerful but now changed and subdued stallion behind him. The burrow was never violent, never demanded its way, but it quietly and patiently held on for dear life until the horse became exhausted. By patience and submission, the donkey eventually broke this wild stallion's will. This burrow's submission really had made all the difference in this. Now, here's my point. Submission was never meant to be an inconvenience for us. God did not call us to be submissive so that we would be annoyed all day. God called us to be submissive because that's one of the greatest tools that we have to change the lives of people that are around us. And if we need proof of that, turn back over with me to Philippians chapter 2. And let's close with those verses there. Beginning in verse 4, Paul says, "Let each of you look not only to his own self-interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess the name of Jesus that is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Jesus takes on the form of a servant. Why? So he emptied himself of his rights and his authority of God. He did so he could change the world, so that people like you and I could become children of God. His humility and submission to our needs will result in every knee bowing and every tongue confessing the name of the Lord. And God has commissioned us to use that very powerful technique to bring about the change in the lives of people around us. But of course, in order for us to use this power of submission, we must first submit to God. We must come to Him believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that we must repent of our sins and confess Jesus as our Lord and Master, and we must allow ourselves then to be buried with Him in the waters of baptism, to rise up and walk in the newness of life. Tonight, if you're not a Christian and need to make that decision, we urge you to do so. If you need the prayers of this congregation, now would be an opportune time, now as together we stand and we sing.